April News now. This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And another fun week in technology again.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed. Verizon bought some more bandwidth, trying to, you know, pump up their 4G network. Mm-hmm. Rover gets its first mission assignment. And, of course, we had Apple hitting its high and Facebook hitting its low. That we'll talk about those two sagas and what was going on there. Stratford this week released its new mobile site. So you go to the stratford.edu, and if you've got a mobile phone, it'll automatically show up as a mobile site. It's quite interesting. We have more traffic to the mobile site than we have to the regular site. I was actually
that's interesting.
And that's just in the first week.
Huh. Whoa.
That, of course, is why Facebook has a problem, because they can't monetize mobile operations very well, and most of the people going to Facebook use use mobile. This week, we're going to feature Marissa Ann Mayer. She, of course, is the new CEO of Yahoo, and she's one of the tech leaders out there in Silicon Valley. She spent a good 13 years at Google and was the number 20 employee and the first female engineer hired by Google. She's got quite an interesting story. We'll launch her career and how she started it. She's now worth over $300 million in net worth at age 37.
Good grief.
So we'll talk about how she did. And, of course, it was a really huge, huge mailbag this week.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Yes, we have an email from Lauren in Reston. I'm a student, and I'm in desperate need of a computer. However, they are way too expensive for me now. Do you know where a student could find discounts on computers, preferably a Mac? Thank you, Lauren Snyder in Reston. Well, Lauren, I would consider getting a refurbished computer. You can get pretty good deals on refurbished computers. They might be about 2 years out of date. If you just look up refurbished Mac, it'll take you to the Apple website, and Apple will sell refurbished machines. Or you can put in refurbished Dell. Dell sells refurbished machines, and I tend to want to get a refurbished machine from the original manufacturer, because then you know what you're getting, and you know that there's some quality with it, and you'll get some reliable guarantee with it. Now, there is another option if you want to buy a new computer, and that's to wait until the next model comes out and buy last year's model when they try to unload them. Frequently, when they're dumping last year's model, it's about at the refurbished price, and then you get a new computer that's simply, you know, 1 year old. And so they're always coming out with new chips, new releases. And so I would actually wait for the release of that to come out. That's also true with the iPhone. Once the iPhone 5 comes out, you can get an iPhone 4S probably for dirt cheap.
Well, you know, the 3s right now go for 99 cents.
Yeah, that's exactly what that's exactly what it always is. Now, the other thing, too, since you're a student, make certain you get academic software. Don't buy the full price software. You can get academic software. You just have to have a student ID, and academic software gives you a full version of the software at the upgrade price. So it is a great deal, and companies, Microsoft, Adobe, companies all have great academic pricing. You know why they do that, Lauren? Because college kids tend to copy software from each other.
So at least they get some money out of it,
so
right?
What they try to do, they try to bring the price down low enough that it's not worth copying it, and, you know, to get rid of that annoyance factor. And so getting refurbished machine or getting last year's model combined with academic software is your best bet. Great email, Lauren. We got an email from June. Dear Tech Talk, I'm still interested in a cell phone repeater for my home. I'm using Verizon, but don't necessarily want to buy their repeater because it may not support other carriers. What do you suggest? Thanks, June in Virginia. June had an email earlier. I was talking about the whether she should buy the Verizon cell phone extender, and she's saying, well, I don't know if I want to get the Verizon one. Well, okay, here's the thing. If you don't want to get stuck with the Verizon repeater, which may be dedicated only to Verizon devices, you may want to get a device from a company that specializes in repeaters, YX. WI-EX.com, YX, and they make a series of devices which they call Z-Boost. Z-Boost devices, they'll create essentially a cell in your home, and they'll basically amplify the signal that you have. And it works in most cases, but not all cases. Now, if you want to cover all carriers, you're going to want to get a dual band system. That would be the dual bands, one at 800 megahertz, one at 1900 megahertz. If you get those two bands, it'll work on all carriers except Nextel, which has kind of a different bandwidth locations, I think at 2100 megahertz. So you won't get Nextel, but you will get certainly AT&T and Verizon. Now, the YX sells a number of devices that range from $299 to $399 list price. Now, if you're a long distance from the nearest cell tower, you may need to buy an additional directional antenna and point it toward the tower. Now, if you're trying to pick up two carriers and the AT&T carrier and the Verizon carrier are not on the same tower and the towers are in different directions, you'd have to have two antennas if you go to a directional antenna.
Uh-huh.
And so that's problematic.
Yeah.
Now, in your final installation, you're probably going to have an antenna in the attic, you know, as high as you can in the house, or it could be even outside of the house if you mount it, if you get an exterior antenna. And then you're going to connect your amplifier and transmitter with a coaxial cable. And I'd recommend that you put, if you're in a three-story house, you put the base unit in the middle story, so the, you know, the first floor, so you got the base, so it'll cover basement and the second floor. Now, I would recommend that you get you'd get the Z-Boost YX545 Soho. That retails for $399. This is for a three-story house.
Okay.
Now, it retails for $399, but the street price is $184. So don't buy it from YX. Go to Amazon and get it for uh-huh. $184. Now, what I would do is I would try the omnidirectional antenna. It basically has a single wire coming out of it. It's a single antenna. It's just a pole that's about 8 inches long, mm-hmm. which is omnidirectional. I would take that omnidirectional antenna and I would find out where you get good reception. I would put it by windows, go up in the attic, go all around the house and try to find a place where you get good reception to see whether that's going to work for you. If you are too far from the cell towers, you can buy a dual band directional antenna. It's basically a flat, it's a square, it's about 8 inches on a side square, and you can mount it externally to the house. It's waterproof, and then you can bring the coax into the house, but then you'd have to point it at the tower.
Meaning you have to know where it is.
You have to know where it is. And they'll tell you the coordinates of it. Cell tower reference sites that you can log on. And you can get the direction of the nearest cells. You know, so you know which way to point. You can get that dual band directional antenna for $159 retail, or the street price is $119. So if you end up having to get the directional antenna along with the base unit, you get that, the street price would be $284. It'd be around $400. Mm-hmm. And that would be a pretty robust system, and that would be superior to the Verizon system, which is around $299. You know, if you get the retail, you know, there's no street price on the Verizon. You just got to go to the Verizon store and buy it. And I'm going to guess that they're just rebranding a Z Boost or something. I don't think they really make their own devices,
right.
But it's a good question. A lot of people the reason this question is coming up is that people are getting rid of their landlines. And they say, why do I need a landline? I've got mm-hmm. a cell phone. Mm-hmm. And then if their house happens to sit in a knoll or far away from towers and they don't get good cell phone reception in the basement, for instance, or all around the house, they have this problem. And so this is actually a pretty good investment if you can get it. Now, this is the other thing I'd recommend. Check the return options if you want to return it, because if you buy most of these devices, especially even with Amazon, if you keep the packaging in place, so you can buy it, you can test it. If you're too far away and it doesn't work, you can return it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take apart all, you know, be very careful how you rip the box apart.
Right, right, right.
Because if it doesn't work, you just may want to return it. But that was a great question, Jim.
I have a question about one of the things you said. If you decide you're going to go with a directional antenna but pointed toward two different sites, won't there be some signal loss even if you do that? You know, if you're going because of all the cable you're going to run?
Well, you'll have two antennas.
Right, right, right. But
so the you can actually carry, because there's that you get there's not that much signal loss through the coax.
Okay.
You can run up to 50 feet on the coax.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
mean, you could not run a mile on the coax.
But the reason that even though you're splitting it, there wouldn't be any signal loss.
No,
there's multi ports on this thing.
Yeah, this thing has multi ports, and if you split it, even if you just split it, it would be a factor of two.
Okay,
and it's really not signal loss. It's that you're picking up more noise.
Gotcha.
Because you're picking up noise from two different cones.
Mm-hmm.
So you're picking up noise from the cone. So then you double the noise, and you actually don't lose the signal because you're not splitting the signal. You're actually combining signals.
Gotcha.
So you double the noise, which actually cuts your signal to noise in half,
mm-hmm.
which is really like cutting the signal in half, actually, but it's technically different.
We have gone way down into a sidebar geekdom.
That's okay.
Actually, I did ask the question.
Here's the thing. I'd say most people would not want to do this because it's kind of a geeky thing to do.
Sure.
But this is something that I would just love to do.
I was going
to
say, you probably would.
And the thing is, if you do this thing, you may actually provide cell phone service for all your neighbors too. Because,
you're kidding me.
Because there's no password on this thing.
Really?
So everybody's going to say, wow, all of a sudden I've got five bars.
Now, does that open you up to any sort of issues if you do that?
No issues.
Really?
No issues, because you're disconnected to the cell tower. But it might allow you to, two people could pool their resources perhaps.
Ah, like going in and say, hey, let's do this together.
And let's test it out. And then that would cut the price in half.
You can cut it in half.
That's right.
By a factor of two, right?
That's right. By a factor of two, exactly. We got comments on the Facebook page. That would, of course, be facebook.com/techtalkonline.
Mm-hmm.
We posted a picture of David Byrd's surprise visit to the show a couple of weeks ago. We've got a couple of comments on that. James Messick said, wow, that face is never what you'd expect it to be. A great friend of the show.
I don't know what that means.
Does that mean it's better than he expected or worse?
Exactly.
James. Okay, I think.
Thanks, James.
Okay, I think you said that. I never expected David Byrd to look that good. Okay, I'm just going to paraphrase it. I think that's what he meant. What do you think?
Let's go with that. I wish David was here so we could get his take on it.
And then we got one from Kathy Skoog. David Byrd was co-host on a local talk program a couple of years ago, so I wasn't surprised to see what he looks like from the photo. But you can't tell from the photo that he still has a Marine's body.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is Kathy. Come on, Kathy. This is Tech Talk. He stays in good shape.
I don't know. I think I've seen him walking around here with donuts and stuff.
No, he's in pretty good shape. I have to admit that. Well, thanks for the feedback.
Yes.
David Byrd has been a longtime supporter of the show. He was actually co-hosting back three radio stations ago.
That's right,
back almost 10 years ago. He co-hosted with me for about 3 years, 10 years ago. And so he's been actually a friend of the show for a long, long
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
We got a comment from Kenneth on Les Horribles Cernettes.
Yeah.
These, of course, were the singing group of the engineers at CERN, who of course found they're running the Large Hadron Collider there, and they just basically discovered or verified the existence of the Higgs boson. And Ken said, I hope it doesn't mean that I'm a particle physics nerd, but I find this just hilarious. I found another article that includes Les Horribles Cernettes that includes their songs The Collider, Mr. Higgs, and Surfing on the Web. And it links to a page with audio and lyrics for Liquid Nitrogen. It's a little surprising that particle physics have such attractive girlfriends.
That's the first thing I thought.
That's right.
They don't have a whole lot of time for these gals, which is why they're singing.
They do look pretty good. But, Ken, I hate to tell you, but you are a nerd.
Yeah.
that's the bottom line.
Yeah. If you went to the trouble,
that's
you're
right.
A nerd.
We got an email from Hawk in Bowie. Dear Tech Talk, Hawk, she's emailed us several times before. Dear Tech Talk, I travel overseas frequently and need to check the voicemail on my cell phone. Is there a way so that I don't have to make an expensive international call just to listen to my messages? That's way too expensive. I have a Verizon iPhone 4S. Thank you. Love the show, Hawk. Well, Hawk, I have an application called YouMail, YouMail. I used it on my BlackBerry and on the iPhone, and it provides voicemail service free of charge. Huh. And so when I install it, it intercepts the voicemail, and it goes to YouMail instead of to the Verizon voicemail. And when I receive a voicemail message, first it sends me a text message. Then it sends me an email with the voicemail attached. So when I'm overseas, I can listen to my voicemail by Wi-Fi. Which is, you know, quite convenient. And so I never actually call my voicemail anymore. I just listen to them over the web. And I don't have to make expensive international calls. Now, actually, when I travel with my 4S, as a sidebar, since I've got the 4S from Verizon, it includes both GSM as well as CDMA protocol. So I actually put in a SIM card when I'm overseas, and Verizon graciously unlocked my phone for me. So I just pop in a SIM card, and so my phone calls are 2 cents a minute. But when I want to get my email messages, I just get them over Wi-Fi because I don't get the data plan there because data can be expensive in other countries. Now, the other thing that YouMail does that's kind of nice is I uploaded my contact list to YouMail. So, for instance, Jim, if you would call me, it would say, hello, Jim. Rick is not here now, and it knows your name.
Wow.
And so this
that's
is
so personal.
So this is very disconcerting. This is very disconcerting to people who call me, leave a message on my cell phone. It addresses them personally.
I think it's kind of cool.
It's kind of a nice thing. They also now I get the free service. I don't pay anything for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free download, free app. Now, you can actually get the premium service that will convert your voicemail to text messages. It does a voice recognition, converts it to text, and then you get an email with the voicemail text.
That works sometimes.
Yeah, so you don't even if you have people that mumble, it doesn't work, but
right.
If you have people who speak clearly, there's no problem at all.
My friends mumble, so
that
doesn't
work
too well.
That wouldn't work. Now,
no.
I've got the same system at home on my I've got voice over IP using UMA, which is basically a little box that I get there, and I pay a big $3 a month for my landline with UMA. And anytime anybody leaves a voicemail with UMA, it also sends me an email. So I can listen to all my home phone voicemails by email at anywhere in the world. So now I never have to log on and listen to voicemail anywhere. That's just a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Great email, Hawk. That's a good thing. So just download that free application, YouMail.
Okay,
now we got an email from Alex in Reston. Dear Doc and Jim, I've got a desktop PC with Vista Ultimate Operating System, originally licensed version, and I use it for personal use. The problem is that the PC shows that the hard disk is going to crash. I formatted it almost 3 times, but very quickly then, the PC shows an error that finally ends up saying something like this. Please insert your Windows reinstall repair bootable CD provided by the manufacturer. Some of your Windows files are corrupted and need reinstalling. The hard disk is about to crash. Please immediately back up the data. What are my options?
That sounds ominous.
Thanks, Alex. Well, Alex, you've got 2 options, repair or replace. It's really not that simple. That's right. Now, if the failure is a bad sector on the hard drive, you may be able to repair it using SpinRite. If the failure is because of a mechanical failure, you've got to replace it. Now, if the hard drive is still under warranty, it's kind of a no-brainer, I'd just get it replaced. Now, you'll have to back up all your data first because they're going to make you send the drive to them to validate that it's broken and covered by warranty. And then when you get the hard drive, with the new hard drive, you'll have to reinstall everything and then copy your data back from the backups. Now, you can try and repair the bad sectors using a program called SpinRite. I just love this program.
Yeah, I know. You've talked about this before.
It's written by Steve Gibson. It can be downloaded from Gibson Research. That would be www.grc.com. It's a little pricey. It's now gone up to $84 if you get a brand new version. If you get an upgrade from 5 to version 6, it's $29. If you get an upgrade from SpinRite 2, which was what I have, it's $44. But actually, I'm just using my old SpinRite because it still works pretty well. And since I've got a copy of SpinRite, I always run this first. And what it does, it goes through and it writes, it reads and writes to each sector, each cluster on your hard drive. And if it cannot read accurately, what it does, it's got all sorts of error correction code that actually will get it so it can read the data. And it and it's read stuff that I've thought I could never get the data from. It reads the data and then it goes back and it writes and rewrites and it reverses the polarity as it's writing. And frequently it can take a bad cluster and bring it back to life, and then it writes the data back to it. And I've done that. I mean, you just have to walk away. It takes, you know, a good long while to go through this thing, but it works magic. Now, if it cannot, in fact, repair that cluster, it will simply move the data to another cluster, and then there's a lookup table on your hard drive, a bad cluster lookup table, and then in the future, your hard drive will not write to that bad cluster, and it's just blocked off. So I'm telling you, in most cases, SpinWrite will fix it if it's a cluster problem, and I love that program. I used, in the old days when I just tinkered with my computer all the time. I'm too busy now. I would just run SpinWrite periodically just to sort of, tune up my hard drive, make certain that there were no, clusters, bad clusters creeping up on me. And it's really a great program. The other nice feature that Gibson Research has, if you buy SpinWrite and it actually doesn't fix the problem, they'll let you return it and give you your money back.
Whoa.
Because you don't know until you buy it whether it works. And since they know it's going to work 80% of the time, or more than 80% of the time, it's a pretty good guarantee for them. But if it doesn't work because it's actually got a mechanical problem or some other problem, you just send it back. They'll give you your money back. They're pretty good at that.
But, well, that's a pretty inexpensive way to fix things as opposed to replacing stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But hard drives will come down in price.
Yeah, that's true.
You can get a hard drive for $100.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the thing is, it's sort of, hard drives have come down in price. They're almost throwaway now.
Yeah.
So that's why Steve Gibson's willing to give it away and you test it out, because $84 is kind of close to the price of a new hard drive.
Yeah.
That's the rub.
Okay.
We got an email from John in Roanoke.
Roanoke? That's right.
Dear Tech Talk, I'm using a laptop with Windows 7 with ESET Internet Security over a Wi-Fi network. ESET, that's ESET, that's the antivirus that I use. I recommend it. I like it. How do I make sure that nobody sees or listens to us when we talk on Skype? Whoa. Okay, so he's using, Skype connections. Well, the good news, John, is that Skype connections are encrypted from end to end.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm talking to you over a Skype conversation and there's nobody in the middle that can listen, there's just nobody to get there. All they're going to see is encrypted data, and that just looks like digital noise. Now, the problem that some people are having is that Microsoft recently bought Skype, and Microsoft has been implementing some architectural changes to Skype, and now people are thinking that Microsoft, or perhaps Skype itself, has the ability to intercept phone conversations on their own servers. In other words, they could set up a man-in-the-middle attack from their servers. And they've indicated that Microsoft has indicated that they're able to intercept and look at text messages if they want. So I suspect that may be the case with voice messages. I don't know. But, this is a pretty minor risk. I mean, I don't think that Microsoft or Skype are going to be doing that, and anybody outside of their servers can't see it. So unless you're dealing with national security issues, I would simply not be concerned. And, I'll tell you, they may be doing this man-in-the-middle thing because there are certain countries that have dictatorships that will not allow Skype calling because they cannot intercept the phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So they may be providing an option to give Skype service in those calls and allow the local country to monitor the calls. I don't really know the politics of it, but if I were going to just say make a guess with no information, I'd guess that's a possibility.
There you go.
There you go. That's a great question.
Yeah,
we
really
love these emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu, and then we'll bring them on the air at a subsequent show.
And of course, you mentioned it a bit earlier, but you're also monitoring the...
I'm monitoring the Facebook page. Simply go to facebook.com/techtalkonline, and I'm looking for your comments during the show.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We're online at techtalkonline.com, and learn more about our sponsor, Stratford University, by going to stratford.edu. Tech Talk continues right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed. Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for...
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to be featuring Marissa Ann Mayer. Marissa Ann Mayer is currently president and CEO of Yahoo. And she was previously a longtime Google executive. She is the youngest CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Marissa Ann Mayer was born May 30th, 1975 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Mayer loved classical ballet while she was going to school. By her junior high, she was dancing 35 hours a week.
Wow.
I mean, that's quite
a passion. That's a full-time job.
That's right. While she was in high school, she was president of the Spanish Club, treasurer of the Key Club. She was involved in debate, math club, the academic decathlon, and junior achievement. Her debate team won the state championship her senior year, and she credits debate, actually, with helping her do critical thinking. And I'd have to agree with that.
Oh, absolutely.
I did 7 years of debate, and I'll tell you, it makes a huge difference.
It absolutely makes you think logically,
because
right?
When you're debating, you've got to debate on for the topic 1 hour, then the next hour against the topic. So you're on both sides of all topics, and it forces you to look at everything from two sides. She entered college thinking that she would be a pediatric neurosurgeon. Wow.
Quite a divergence.
That is quite a pediatric neurosurgeon. But when she was starting taking classes, it required that she take the computer class for pre-med students. And she became intrigued with computers.
Huh.
So she decided to study symbolic systems, which included courses in cognitive psychology, philosophy, linguistics, and computer science. While at Stanford, she danced in the Nutcracker Ballet. She engaged in parliamentary debate. That was her passion. She volunteered at a children's hospital, and she worked at providing computer science education for the underdeveloped schools in Bermuda. I mean, she's really a diverse background.
Sure.
I mean, that's quite impressive. Mayer graduated with honors from Stanford University with a B.S. in symbolic systems and an M.S. in computer science. For both degrees, she specialized in artificial intelligence. After graduation, Mayer served at the UBS Research Lab in Zurich, Switzerland for 9 months, and then at SRI International in Menlo Park. That's SRI, Stanford Research Institute in Menlo Park, prior to joining Google. She joined Google June of 1999 as the 20th employee. She got in at the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
20th employee. And she was the first female engineer. She went on to establish the look of Google's interface as a search engine. She believed in the minimalist look. See, even when she was growing up, I didn't say this, her bedroom had this minimalist tech kind of furniture in it. So even in the beginning, she got kind of like this minimalist look. I think it came from her mother, who was artistic in nature. She went on to, she set up the interface for the search engine, which was very minimalist. She oversaw the development and the code writing and the launch of Gmail, Google Maps, iGoogle, Google Chrome, Google Health, and Google News. She was heavily, and she heavily influenced Google Earth, books, images, and curated the Google Doodle. This is where whenever there's a holiday or something, they'll have a special piece of artwork on the Google homepage on the Google Doodle. She was named vice president at Google in 2005, and her most recent role was supervising the company's mapping products, location services, Google Local, and Street View. Several patents in artificial intelligence carry her name. However, she failed to achieve senior VP status at Google last year.
Mm-hmm.
And her rise to the top began slowing because there were other people that were elevated to SVP, leaving her as just a straight VP. So she thought maybe she should make a change mm-hmm. where she could go to the top. So she assumed leadership. She assumed the CEO position at Yahoo July 17th, 2012. Actually, on the day that they announced that she was CEO, she announced that she was pregnant and we're going to have a baby boy October 17th. But the board knew that
right. okay.
before they hired her. It wasn't a secret to the board, but it was a secret to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Her secret weapon at Yahoo is going to be the alumni of the Google internship program. She mentored many of the young rising stars at Google. See, she dealt with the problem that Google had this sort of a high turnover rate. People coming in, they'd hire these really bright people, and then they didn't launch them very well, so they had a high turnover. And so she created a mentorship program where she traveled around, introduced them to Google, helped them get started. And they've got several hundred alumni of the Google internship program. It could be up to 1,000. And they all call her for continued advice on career development. So she became kind of a mentor for the young stars at Google. And I think what she's thinking, she can pull some of those young stars over to Yahoo.
Absolutely. Why not?
So that's her secret weapon.
Well, see, here's the thing. She made Google a lot of what it is today, and mm-hmm. Yahoo's in big trouble, aren't they?
I mean,
she could really turn that place around.
She certainly could. Now, Mayer dated Google CEO Larry Page for 3 years, but it didn't work out.
Uh-huh. I wonder if that has something to do with...
I'm wondering about that too.
It could have been dating at work is really a bad idea.
It could have been that's when her career started slowing down.
Uh-huh.
Because in January of 2008 she began seeing internet investor Zach Bogue.
Mm-hmm.
And she married Zach Bogue in December 2009. 2010 is when her career started slowing down at Google.
There you go.
I don't know if there's a direct correlation.
I would
but
think there probably
there
is.
There could be, but I got no information on that.
Okay.
They're expecting a baby boy October 7th, 2012. Now, she currently owns a $5 million luxury penthouse in San Francisco and a Palo Alto home. Mara was named a Fortune magazine's annual list of America's most powerful women in business in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. She is a cupcake devotee. Devotee.
Yes.
She's been known to study cupcake recipes and cupcake cookbooks to create a spreadsheet of ingredients and then test variations of her own recipe before writing new recipes. She's also quite athletic. She's run the San Francisco Half Marathon, the Portland Marathon, and she plans on doing a cross-country ski race. She's also climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. Now, this gets back to her coding days. She loves Mountain Dew. Of course, Mountain Dew is high in caffeine. Mountain Dew is the preferred drink of many programmers.
Wonder
she loves why. Mountain Dew, and she requires only 4 hours of sleep each night.
She'll be getting even less when she
That's
has a baby.
That's right. Her net worth is estimated to be $300 million, and she'll earn $117 million over the next 5 years over the next 5 years at Yahoo. Mm-hmm. The reason that's $117 million is they actually bought out a lot of her Google options. Because she had a lot of options that if she left, she would lose.
Mm-hmm.
So Yahoo made her whole by buying that. That's why her salary is $117 million. She's currently on the Walmart Board of Directors. I looked at some of the company blogs there at Yahoo, and she's a completely different beast than the previous CEO. She goes down, she eats with just the regular folks down in the cafeteria. She goes to the Friday happy hours. She just is like just mixing with everybody. And the previous CEO, then nobody'd ever see him.
Why? She could change things.
She could change things.
Mm-hmm.
She could change things. And so there's a lot of excitement at Google, and they're hoping that they're going to, at Yahoo, and they're hoping that they're going to reverse the trend of all of the best engineers leaving Yahoo and start attracting them back again. There you go. Everything you want to know about Marissa and Mayer.
That's right. And you heard it here on Tech Talk Radio. You're listening to us in Washington, D.C. on your radio. Chances are you're hearing us on WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas, and WTOP FM HD2 in Washington. Hope you're paying attention to the profiles in IT on Marissa Mayer. We're going to have your chance to answer a question about that in just a moment. And if you're the first person with the right answer, you could win a prize. All that coming up next on Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, 5 of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
I hope you were paying attention during the first segment of this class, and before I let you go on a classroom break.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were paying attention, you should have no problem with this pop
None
quiz. No problem.
No.
Now, if you get the correct answer to the pop quiz, you'll get 2 tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room and the Karem Dining Room. And you'll also get an A for this class period.
Which means absolutely nothing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean a thing. We don't pay for A's.
Nope.
And we don't even send out transcripts.
That's right.
Earlier in the show, I was talking about Marissa Ann Mayer. She, of course, is the current president and CEO of Yahoo. What was her passion while she was going to junior high? If you get the correct answer to that question, you'll receive 2 tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room and Karem Dining Room. Now, how can they reach us?
Well, it's interesting you should ask. You would have to pick up the phone and dial the following 10 numbers in this order. If you're dialing for places west of Richmond, Virginia, or Wausau, Wisconsin, it's 877-936-9333. Once again, that's 877-936-9333. The wild card line is 877-936-9333.
And if you're in Antarctica. You can reach us on Skype by, you know, contacting Tech Talk Radio 1. Or if you're right outside the studio, I suppose you could stand on a ladder and you could hold up
Put it on a sign,
You could put it on a sign.
Tap on the window.
Tap on the window. That would be another option.
Come to the Newark Avenue side.
Most people actually call us on the plain old telephone system, POTS, the POTS lines.
In the 4+ years we've been together, every winner we've ever had came on the phone.
It is right. Mm-hmm. You know, this last week, it was kind of fun to watch the old ups and downs of the stock market. Of course, Apple hit a new high. Apple was already the most valuable company. Apple saw its stock hit $648 a share just before closing. And that was up $11 a share, or 1.9% from Thursday's closing. Apple's expected to build 25 million iPads this quarter, up from the previous estimate of 16 million. Oh, they were off by 9 million. Analysts believe that Apple is now going to make a cheaper tablet computer to counter the threat of Google's Nexus and Amazon's Kindle, both of which sell at $199. The cheapest iPad's currently $399, so they think Apple's going to come up with a 7-inch iPad that's going to sell around $199, and that's making the analysts just jump for joy. Mm-hmm. They also believe the iPhone 5 will go on sale in September, and it's widely believed that it'll be the biggest phone launch ever. Now, the rumored upgrades include a slightly bigger screen. Instead of 3.5 inches, it'll be 4 inches, and they're going to connect to the high-speed wireless data network, the latest versions of it. And the same week, Facebook hit a new low. Facebook shares have fallen below $20 a share, nearly half of the stock's initial selling price after its much-hyped IPO in May. The sell-off came after the expiration of a 90-day ban that prevented early investors from selling shares of Facebook quickly. It was easily the most anticipated and watched IPO, but just 3 months later, early investors can't get rid of their shares fast enough. More than 270 million shares became available on Thursday after the selling restrictions were lifted, sending Facebook stock to a new low, shaving off about $50 billion from its market share. But nearly half of the $38 selling price many see as a bargain. Others think that you should be wary because it's going to turn out that there are going to be more shares. There are more than a billion shares are going to be expected or are available for sale, and they'll hit the market in November. So people are thinking another hit on the market. And the reason is Facebook is having trouble monetizing. Everybody is actually – Facebook had ads that display quite nicely on a PC. They don't display on a mobile phone very well, and most of the users are mobile. So revenues are weak, and the hype was too much for Facebook.
Doc, you'd be pleased to hear this. It's the middle of summer, and all the phone lines are jammed.
Wow, that is fantastic.
That's fantastic. So I'm going to pick a name we haven't seen before, and that's going to be Tommy calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Tommy, good morning. Welcome to Tech Talk.
To Tech Talk Tech.
I can't talk Tech Talk, whatever. How are you doing?
I am just fantastic.
Good. All right, Doc, go ahead and ask the question.
Okay, earlier in the show, we talked about Marissa Ann Mayer. She, of course, is CEO of Yahoo and was previously at Google. What was her passion during junior high?
I thought ballet.
That is correct.
That is the correct answer.
That is correct. You win 2 tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room, the Carême Dining Room. Just stay on the line and give Andrew your name, address, and email address, and we'll get those tickets out to you next week.
Tommy, as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, I didn't recognize your name. Have you called us before?
I have.
Oh, okay, good. Have you been listening for a while?
Pardon me?
I said, have you listened to our show for a while?
I have not.
Oh, good. Well, good. Well, we're glad to have you aboard. So thanks for listening to Tech Talk. Hang on the line here. Andrew will be right with you. And you are indeed listening to Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. More tech news right after this. You all right?
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different. With campuses in Tysons Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed. Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Here's an example of a liquid repeller that has been invented, and it was inspired by a carnivorous plant.
Really?
I love to see inventions that are inspired by biology. When I, in my previous life, we would look at comparative physiology, and we came up with a lot of inventions that were inspired by what happens and how biological systems process signals, how the eyes work, and all sorts of interesting inventions came out of that. And here's another example of it. A team of Harvard researchers wanted to create the ultimate liquid and solid repelling surface. They studied the Nepenthes pitcher plant, where curious insects are trapped by its slippery walls. So what it is, the insects go inside to try to get some nectar, and the walls are so slippery that they can't
get out.
The tropical plant inspired the creation of SLIPS. Oh, this acronym is kind of odd. Self-healing, slippery, liquid-infused, porous surface. They must have created that to get funding.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a funding acronym. It was a synthetic material that utilizes nano microstructured substrates. The coating is repellent to water, motor oil, asphalt, concrete, black paint, and, of course, bugs. The team has published a number of papers on the material, including one that demonstrates its ice and bacteria repelling properties. This is another example of technology transfer from nature. There's a fun YouTube video on this where they show they throw oil on it and the oil just comes right off. But there's a lot of potential when you try to apply things in nature to invent new devices by man.
Why, this could work on a computer keyboard, maybe.
It possibly could be, yeah, to keep
water and stuff out.
Keep water out, yeah, that's possible. The justice has approved the purchase of more bandwidth by Verizon. Verizon Wireless is going to pay $3.9 billion for the spectrum, and it will allow it to add to its capacity for the 4G LTE wireless broadband network. Regulators saw the transfer of the unused spectrum to Verizon as a positive one for consumers. Verizon was buying it from, actually, the cable companies. Verizon actually is beginning to slow down on its deployment of Fios. You know, the Fios fiber optic network is extremely expensive. It was not as profitable as I think they thought it would be. So they're beginning to slow down the development of it. And what they were doing, they put together a cross marketing to where if the cable companies would sell them this spectrum, then they would start offering cable services in the Verizon store, kind of a cross-marketing deal. The Justice Department thought this would be kind of a violation of antitrust regulation, so they approved the sale of the wireless spectrum, but they did not approve the cross-marketing. So, actually, I was kind of surprised that Verizon is slowing down on the Fios deployment, but I've got it in my neighborhood, so I'm happy. So the people that already got it are going to get to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Rover gets its first mission. I've been tracking Rover. Of course, Rover landed on Mars last week. And NASA said that Curiosity, that's named Curiosity, will move toward a spot dubbed Glenelg. How do you pronounce
Glenelg.
It? Glenelg. Mm-hmm. Which is located at the confluence of three specific types of Martian geology. Over the next few days, NASA will perform the final motor test. They'll shift the rover about a meter forward and then a meter back, just checking things out before they head out for Glenelg. If everything checks out, then Curiosity will begin the 400-meter road trip to the site, 400 meters. It's going to move at its top speed of 1.5 inches a second. which translates to 0.06 miles per hour. So it's 0.06 of a mile per hour. Once it reaches its new destination, NASA will begin to use the rover's instruments to break the Martian crust and look for signs of organic compounds and materials that could give us a clue as to whether Mars had or possibly still has basic forms of life. After it's finished there, the rover will begin a much longer trek to the base of Mount Sharp. Its chemistry and camera instrument, the ChemCam, consists of a laser and telescope that we use to zap Martian rocks and break them down for analysis. To calibrate the laser's aiming and response system, the rover has to shoot a test at its own at a plate on its own body, consisting of 10 targets of different type of material. Once this calibration is completed, the team has picked their first target for study, a small rock dubbed N165. N61 looks like a typical Martian rock. It's about 3 inches wide. It's about 10 feet away from the rover, and they're going to zap it very quickly to test this out. They're going to hit it with 14 millijoules of energy, 30 times in 10 seconds. So Rover is on the way, and I'm excited to see all the things that are happening with Rover. So okay. Very exciting item.
Let's take a break here for a second.
Okay, right? Let's take a quick break.
This is Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. More tech news right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. You know, iPads are ruling the tablet market.
Indeed they are.
The International Data Corporation released preliminary data on the Worldwide Quarterly Media Tablet Tracker. It shows that the total worldwide tablet shipments for the second quarter of 2012 were estimated to be about 25 million units, which is up from 18.7 million units the last quarter. Apple shipped 17 million iPads last quarter, which is itself up from 11.8 million the last quarter. It turns out that Apple is just ruling the market. Apple has sold way more iPads than anybody else. The obvious connection here is that the iPad is the driving tablet force for all tablet sales. 17 million iPads for Apple versus their nearest competitor, 2.4 million tablets for Samsung. And see, Apple doesn't even like that 2.4 million. That's why they have sued Samsung for patent violations.
And like everything like rectangular shape and crazy stuff like that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they patented curved edges. They have the on-off switch in the middle of one side. I mean, I hope that look and feel stuff just gets thrown out by the courts. But they're winning the sales. That's also why their stock shot up. And all of the mobile devices are creating a new phenomenon that's creating security concerns. BYOD, bring your own device. Mm-hmm. A growing number of companies are embracing BYOD, and they're just ignoring the mobile security issues. I mean, actually, employees are just demanding to bring their iPhones to work. I mean, we support iPhones at Stratford on our network.
Mm-hmm.
The number of companies investing in mobile management security solutions related to bring-your-own-device programs is growing. The result is that many companies are putting themselves and their data at risk by jumping into BYOD without properly securing employee iPhones, iPads, and other devices. According to a study by OnForce, more than half of the technicians that help businesses implement BYOD have seen a 25% increase in demand associated with employee devices, either setting up individual devices or broader BYOD options. Less than a third of those technicians have seen an increase in requests for mobile device security solutions. You see this, and what this gets at is, suppose you have access to the company network and you lose your cell phone. That's a security breach. So how is the company going to respond to that, and how are they going to protect the company assets? Now, this implies that the number of businesses are moving forward with official or unofficial BYOD options without implementing mobile management or security. Nearly two-thirds of the technicians working in BYOD have seen an uptick in the number of devices used by workers, with an increase in diversity of devices over the year. This is an employment opportunity. Companies need to figure this out. So if you're interested in honing your IT skills, I would look at bring your own device security as it relates to iPhones, iPads, and all these other things. There's, where there's a problem, there's an opportunity at right. all cases.
Mm-hmm.
AT&T is planning to shut down their 2G network on 2017. Now, of course, everybody's gone to is moving on to 3G. 2G mm-hmm. is really hardly anybody's on 2G anymore.
Sure.
But you know, they've got, but they do have some people that stay on 2G. Probably these are the people that still have the big clunky phones. That, you know, there's some people that just love their old phones, you know, and they don't even like text messaging. They somehow think a phone is to make a phone call.
I find it hard to believe there's anybody out there less technologically advanced than I am.
Yeah, but you were
even
very
I have.
You were very you have an iPhone
an i4
an i4s.
Uh-huh. No, not the
4s.
No,
just
no,
the,
no.
Just
I don't have Siri on mine.
You don't have Siri, so
no.
So they have announced, because they think they legally have to do this, so they're going to end the end date of 2G network is 2017 January 1st. They disclosed that in SEC filing. The carrier hopes that both its GMN voice and edge data networks will end about 4.5 years from now. Only 12% of its regular subscribers are using 2G-only phones today. Okay, these are 12% of these guys are Luddites, and they need to move on and get on mm-hmm. with life and get on to at least the 3G network.
Sure.
They expect this transition to be fairly smooth and uneventful. So the CNN's top tech trends for 2012. This is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, CNN, you know, I like these lists of tech trends. Well, let's see what we have. Let's see if we agree with it. Touch computing is number one. I'd say first Apple had it. Now even Microsoft is coming out with touch computing device. I'd have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Social gestures. This would be automatic sharing on the web with apps. So that, you know, basically this is a trend where you'll install an app and it will automatically share your stuff to Facebook and to LinkedIn. And there's definitely a trend there. I don't really like to share, so I never allow my apps to share, but that is a trend, and many people like that. Near-field communications and mobile trends are a major push. The next generation of iPhone is going to support near-field communications. The Android already does. And what that is, it's a protocol where you can just hold your phone up close to a device at the store, and you can make a payment without even bringing out your credit card. All your credit card information is in your cell phone. You just go there, and you see something comes on your cell phone, the dollar amount, and you approve it, and bingo, you pay. So it's going to be the end of credit cards with this near-field communications. Apple refused to put near-field communications on their 4S phone because they didn't think the security was sufficient, but I think they're weakening. It looks like it's going to come out on the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, beyond the iPad. That's a new trend. The iPad started a trend, but now everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. You got Google, Microsoft, and Amazon. TV everywhere. What we're looking at is people having TV on their iPad, their iPhone, on their computer, so that TV is going to become ubiquitous. Voice control, Siri commands. So these are spatial gestures where you can actually move and connect the thing like with Kinect. So these are all things that are moving forward. And, of course, HTML5 is another trend. Listen, we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
We love you to go to stratford.edu and check out the programs. And also go to techtalkonline.com, sign up for the podcast. And we love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu.
You can hear this show again on this very radio station at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
This paid commercial. Not- represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program. WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
As the home of the Washington Nationals, you will indeed hear baseball on your radio today. As the Nationals continue their homestand against the New York Mets, the first pitch at 7:05 tonight here on Federal News Radio. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30. It'll be Edwin Jackson against John Neese. Of course, the Nats won last night 6-4. The forecast for the nation's capital for today, it's going to be mostly sunny. Chance of an afternoon shower, highs near 84 degrees. Right now outside our palatial studios in Northwest D.C., 70 degrees. It's 10 a.m.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or